verses in this lesson than I do a normal Sunday school lesson, and I'll tell you why here in just a minute. Genesis chapter 1, it's at the front of your Bible, and let's pray and then we'll get started. Lord, thank you for this morning, and thank you for these sweet people. Thank you for our class, and Lord, I thank you for the laughter and the times together. There is a lot going on at our church with the East Coast Ladies Conference coming up, and all that you, Lord, a lot of people doing a lot of work. And Lord, I thank you that we're a part of a busy church. We're not a part of a church where there's nothing going on. So thank you that we get to spend ourselves for you. Now help us this morning as we come to your word. Open our eyes, please. And give us understanding. And help us to not just learn your book, but help us to learn it, to live it. And take it home with us. Apply it to our families. And Lord, have reason for rejoicing because of what you've taught us. Please. Help me now in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 1. We have been looking at stories from the book of Genesis. There are seven major characters in the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve. Their son Abel. Abraham. Isaac. Jacob. Adam. Abel. Noah. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Seven characters in the book of Genesis. We've been looking at it. Last week kind of ended our last look, and we took some time for salvation last week. It ended our synopsis of the stories of Genesis. Well, if you look here in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, verse 1, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. If I took the first three verses of the book of Genesis, and I'll tell you, God calls this book, all right? God calls this the book of life. It is not only eternal, but God also calls it a living book. That means we can read the Bible. We can say, okay, in the beginning, God. But what I'm trying to tell you is because it is God's Word, there is eternity in each verse. We don't understand it all. There is so much in the Bible. So if I take this and if I say verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, I can say that's a picture of man before he gets saved. He's without form and void. When he sinned in the Garden of Eden, he died on the inside and he became nothing spiritually. He has a body and a soul, but his spirit is dead. Man is a threefold being just like God is. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Man is three things also. A body, a soul, and a spirit. When man sinned, his spirit died, and he became dead in the spirit, and he is without form and void. And then it says in the middle of verse 2, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That's what happens when a person gets saved. They start getting convicted by the Holy Spirit. They are nothing without the Holy Spirit. They think they're fine without the Holy Spirit. Life is good as far as they're concerned without the Holy Spirit. But then the Holy Spirit of God comes in and starts convicting them of sin and showing them what they are. And you've wronged God. You've broken God's laws. You have come short of the glory of God. And the Spirit of God moves on the spirit of man, saying you're dead and you're damned. You're without hope, without God. You need to get saved. Now look at verse 3. And God said, that's the word of God, let there be light. And there was light. If you hold your finger right there real quick and you go to John 8:12 in the New Testament, John 8:12. And God said, let there be light. John 8:12. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 8 verse 12. And watch this. John chapter 8 verse 12. John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. So who is the light? Jesus is. He said, I am the light. I'm the one that when you get saved, I'm the one that opens up your understanding. It's kind of like Jesus said spiritually, if I go over here And we can't do it because the windows are on. But when I turn the lights out, there are some things you can't see in here. Now, are they still here? Yes, they are. But you can't perceive them because the light doesn't reflect off them, right? Well, when you get saved, Jesus said, I am the light. I am the one that shows you salvation is like light. God always has been. God has always been good. God's always been working in your life, but you couldn't see it until you got saved. Because God says, I am light. That is salvation. It is not that God changes when you get saved. You're the one that changes. He's the one that sheds light on the subject. And his things have always been there. Now, I can take the first three verses of Genesis and I can show you salvation there. I can take the next, look at verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. You know what a firmament is? When you look up the word firmament in the dictionary, which, by the way, when you're reading the Bible, if you don't understand a word, you look it up. And dictionaries are free nowadays. I mean, you can get the Webster's 1828 dictionary, the first dictionary in the English language off the internet, free. You can look it up, the definition. The word firmament means the division. And watch this. It says, there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. You say, what are you talking about? Verse 7, God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. That means there's evaporated water in clouds, and there is liquid water on the earth. And God says, I'm going to make a division there. And so God put a firmament, and God said, I'm going to separate the waters. Well, watch this. The cloud is a picture of God the Father, and as it sends rain to the earth, God sent His Son, an incarnated flesh. And as that rain hits the ground and it's absorbed into the earth, that's the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because then the sun hits the earth and it evaporates the water and it goes back up to heaven, and that's Jesus going back up to heaven. And it does what? It collects to fall again, which is the second coming of Jesus. You say, Benesh, it seems like you're making mountains out of molehills. You're like taking, you put salvation in verses 1 through 3. You see Jesus in the second coming in verses 6 and 7. Are you sure that's all there? I'm positive. Let me show you why. In your Bible, when I got saved, take your Bible now and let's go to Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40, right in the middle of your Bible. Psalms is right in the middle of your Bible. Psalm chapter 40, and I want to show you something. Verse 7 and 8. When I got saved, and I've said this several times, the Old Testament scared me. I thought you had to be a Jewish scholar and understand Jewish culture and understand the times and, you know, world history and the Roman Empire and, you know, Egyptian civilization and all this other stuff. And really, so I was scared of the Old Testament. From Genesis to Malachi, I didn't really read. I read Matthew to Revelation because I figured, okay, I can handle Jesus. Well, I wish somebody would have sat down and showed me what I'm getting ready to show you right now, because if this book ever becomes a textbook to you, if this book ever becomes something that you feel you have to learn to help your intellect, you lose in the Christian life. Every word of this book, if it's a King James Bible, is from God. And as you learn this book, I don't have to understand Hebrew poetry to read the book of Job. They call it the oldest book in the Bible, the book of Job. You don't have to understand, well, that might have been, you know, a little bit after the flood, and it fits right in between Genesis chapter, 11 and 12 there, and it was before Abraham, so, you know, who cares? Who cares? Sit down and read the book of Job and see how he lost his wife, his children, everything he had, his servants, and look at how the devil sought to destroy Job, but God said, you may not put on him anything more than he can handle. You don't have to understand Jewish culture to get that out of there. To understand God's watching over you right now, read the book of Job. I was scared of the book of Job. You don't have to do that. I can show you, I can take you to Isaiah. And you could just sit. I think Isaiah is probably my favorite prophet in the whole Bible. He's called the eagle-eyed prophet because he just saw Jesus in everything. When I heard that, I said, okay, I'm going to sit down and read the book of Isaiah. It took me 2 hours. Now I was in the Marine Corps and I didn't have anything else to do. Okay? So I'd sit down and read. I read that, and I remember there were portions of it. I just let God speak to my heart. I don't understand all the prophecy, and you know, then there's the 400 silent years there, and then Jesus said there's a real prophecy that's actually going to take place, and then there's a prophetic spiritual prophecy, and what you have to do is not read the book. Sit down and read your Bible, and watch this. Let me give you something that makes it really simple. Look at Psalm chapter 40, verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. That's Jesus. He said, if this book ever becomes a textbook to you, you've lost the whole purpose. Jesus said the whole volume of the book is about me. And I'll show you more about that here in just a minute. But Jesus is the living word. This is the written word. Jesus was the King James Bible, the Word of God, with flesh on it. Now I'm spending time with Jesus when I read my Bible. I'm not spending time with something reading it that, well, I don't know if I'm getting the right interpretation of it. Look, it's the Holy Ghost that teaches you on the inside as you read this book. So take time and let God speak to your heart. A Christian that does not read their Bible does not give God time to speak to them. And I remember it does not happen to me every day. There were two times this week I sat down and as I read my Bible, I wept. And someday I have to share it with you. I was preparing for some Bible studies and I'm giving in the high school when school starts. I'm the first Bible class teacher and I'm doing a Bible study on mercy. And man, it just flooded my soul. Has that ever happened to you? I don't think you got to go to Bible college for that to happen. I don't think you have to be a preacher for that to happen. I think you need to read your Bible for that to happen. I think you need to be saved and have the Holy Spirit of God for that to happen. I don't think you got to be some Bible scholar for that to happen. You have to let God speak to your heart. And if you cannot make it as a Christian, a happy Christian, going from Sunday to Sunday to Sunday, I'm telling you, you got to have that book every day. This, here, take your Bible and go to Revelation chapter 19 real quick, because we're going to continue here, but I'm just going to add some validity to what I'm telling you. Look at Revelation. Revelation chapter 19. And look, if this verse isn't marked in your Bible, it ought to, so that you can go back and look at it and just think about it for a minute. But it says, verse 13, Revelation 19, 13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The name of Jesus is the Word of God. If you have a Bible that has not been tainted by man, and that's why I haven't got time to go into it, but I'm just telling you, the King James Bible is the Word of God. It is the only Word of God for this day. This book, my Bible, calls this Jesus. When I pray, it would not be irreverent for me to say, O thou Word of God, help me today. How do you do that without reading your Bible? You have to. When you take this book and you hold it, and it's close to you, this is as close as you're going to be to Jesus till He comes. This book ought to be a book that you read and you think about and you cry over and you weep with. I'm telling you, this book is living, it's alive, it is the Word of God. It's Jesus. That's not fanatical, that's not right-wing extremism, it's Christianity. Do you know how precious this book was to the believers that have gone before us? When they said, give us your Bibles, they said, we would rather die. Because what did Jesus say in John 6:63? The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Life. That's this book. Now, with that in mind, look at Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Now, I share that with you because I would like you to look at your Bible as something, this is something I must have. And as a Christian, I won't make it without it. And I need to read the Bible, regardless of what you understand. Regardless. Look at Revelation. And are you there? Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. I think everybody's Bible in here says either the book of Revelation or... Now, I like yours right there. My Bible says the revelation of St. John the Divine. How many have that up at the top as the title? How many have that? How many have up at the top the revelation of Jesus Christ? Ooh, I like that. All right. I like yours right here. I know you're trying to keep your place there. But his has the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know where they get that from? Look at chapter 1, verse 1, and watch this. The revelation of Jesus Christ. They got the title from the Bible. Revelation used to scare me. You know, that's the book everybody thinks, you know, ooh, spooky. You got, ooh, Antichrist and all that stuff. But when you read have you ever sat down, it'll take you an hour and a half. I remember the first time I did it, somebody said, quit reading the Bible for prophecy's sake. Prophecy's fun. Prophecy's exciting, what's going to happen in the future. It is fun. But if you've never read the revelation of Jesus Christ, looking for Jesus and how God reveals himself to you, you've missed the whole picture. You ought to read the book. You know what his main title in the book of Revelation is? The Lamb. Another time he's... What? Read the book of Revelation for the book for Jesus. Let's look at a couple more scripture because I really want to show them to you. Look at John 5:39. John 5:39. We need to get us like one of them clocks that zeroes into Colorado or... Huh? Yeah. Nick, I have money. I can pay you. John 5:39. Watch this. Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life." And then this phrase, "and they are they which testify of me." Jesus said, "The book will tell you of me." Well, I just want to do what Jesus would do. Are you reading your Bible? If you're reading your Bible, this is his mind. This is how you get God's thoughts into your brain, is you read his word. Watch this. Skip on down to verse 46. "For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he," Moses, "wrote of me." What God used Moses to pen? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The first five books of the Bible were penned by Moses. I'm trying to talk too fast. Were penned by Moses. God gave them through Moses. And Jesus said, the first five books, you ever read the book of Leviticus? The heave offerings. And, you know, now go show thyself to the priest, and the priest will take the water and do all that. I get bored when I read Leviticus. I really do. I'll just be real truthful with you. I don't understand it all. I don't understand Jewish customs. But even in a book that I call boring, and I kind of do that. You're calling God's book boring? I'm saying I don't understand it. I can take you to Leviticus, and I can say, you may not understand it, but Jesus said it's about him. He's pictured in there somewhere. That's why I can take you to Genesis 1, and I can say, here's salvation. I can take you to Genesis 1, 6, and 7, and say, here's a picture of Jesus in the water that comes down, and that's the Jesus coming to earth, and he's absorbed into the ground, the death and the burial, and the sun hits the ground and evaporates the water. That's the resurrection and his ascension back to heaven. It gathers again for him to come again. That's the second coming. It's Jesus. That's why that's not extreme. Jesus said, the whole book is of me. Let me show you. Go to Luke 24. Luke 24, Matthew, Mark, Luke. I'm sorry, go back to Luke. You go back one book to Luke 24. Luke 24. Look at verse 25. Jesus scathes two disciples, and I don't think he's being real friendly here. I think Jesus gets a little upset with them. And he tells two disciples, watch this, verse 25, "Then said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory?" And look at verse 27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he," Jesus, "expounded unto them," the two disciples, in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, what thrills me about that, how'd you love Jesus to teach you the Bible someday? I think he will in heaven. I know he will. And where Jesus just says, see that right there? That's me. I'm right here. You see this right here? I'm right here. That's me. You see this right here? See this right here? That's me. How'd you like Jesus? And the Bible says there, he took them from Genesis all the way through and said, let me show you me in the scriptures, boys, because you missed it. You're still wondering, wow, our hero died and the mob and now everything's quiet. And Jesus is walking alongside them. It says he doesn't make himself known to them. And he says, y'all still don't get it, do you? I give you a whole book from Genesis to Revelation. He says, I give you all of it, and you still don't know who I am. You're still depressed. He said, I'm telling you, the whole book's about me. Look at chapter verse 44. You're right there, Leviticus 27, 24. Luke 24, verse 44. Watch this. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was with you. That all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Wow. All I'm trying to tell you this morning is if you ever get too, I hate to say it because there's nothing wrong with being scholarly and researching and looking up definitions of words. There's nothing wrong with that. But the day this book becomes a textbook to you and you stop letting it just, Jesus, please, you ought to go to Genesis chapter 1. I have in my Bible, Dear Greg, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And then I turned in my Bible to Revelation, the last verse in Revelation, the last verse in the last chapter of Revelation. I put, love Jesus. Preacher said it from the pulpit many times. This is God's love letter to me. This is God speaking to me. And the day this becomes a textbook to you is the day you lose. That means, okay, great. Let me see, you got the deliverance from Egypt, then 40 years in the wilderness. Next generation comes up. Then they go into the promised land. Joshua has no leader. Time of the judges. Then the first king is Saul, and he reigns 40 years, drops the ball. God anoints David coming in. Saul chases him. Okay, you can get the timeline right, but where's Jesus? You ought to read the book till your heart's stirred. I'm telling you, it's all about Jesus, and I hope that makes your Bible time sweeter instead of, you know, I've heard it about four times since I've been. Well, I haven't been to Bible college. I go, so? Need to read your Bible every day. And I hope this has been an encouragement to you. Lord, please help us now this morning. Thank you for these sweet people. Thank you for the book. Thank you that you didn't leave me to myself and for me to figure out what was right on my own. But God, you've given me your word. Now, please bless these sweet people. I pray that, please, Lord, for those in here this morning that, Lord, their heart's been touched and they haven't been reading your word. Lord, I pray that, please, they'd see it as something sweet and something that needs to be in their life, not something that needs to keep on being rejected. Please, help us as your people to do things your way. Bless our preacher this morning as he preaches to us. Bless the service to follow now. In Jesus' name, amen. God.